Welcome to a new episode of Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid Ahmed.
The last time we talked about honeybees and the biology of them, the colony, all that good stuff was some time ago. I just wanted to go back and refresh some memory that we might have forgotten, or you can go back and listen to the previous episodes. So in this episode, I'm going to just do a little summary and then go further along honeybee biology, honeybee maladies, and stuff like that. The development of the honeybee. There's four stages in the honeybee development. They start from an egg, they then become a larva after the third day, and then they're fed pollen. So yeah, those are the different development stages for a honeybee. I'm sure other insects have similar development stages. So there we have it. When egg is laid by the queen bee, it is super tiny. When it's first laid, it is vertical or parallel to the side walls. And then on the third day, the egg is laying flat on the cell bottom. The egg then becomes a larva, starts growing as the nurse bees start feeding them. They feed them royal jelly for the first 3 days, and then after that, they're fed nectar. And for 7 days, they're fed nectar. So the first 3 days, they're fed royal jelly. The next 4 days, they're fed the nectar, and then the cell is capped, and the larva becomes into pupa and starts pupating for at least 21 days. In 21 days, we have a worker bee. In 24 days, we have a drone emerging from the cell. So that's a little life cycle development of a honeybee. Once these honeybees come out, they start working. It's amazing. These guys start working and they don't even bat an eyelid. So now as soon as the adult bees emerge, the cells, especially worker bees. Drone bees don't do any of these tasks. It's only the worker bees that perform these tasks. So what is a division of labor? The first 1 to 3 days, these bees go around cleaning the cells that they just came out of and other cells. They clean them out, and from that point on, they become nurse bees. Nurse bees then tend to the larva and the queen, feeding them, and they do other hive maintenance as well. So how long do they do this? They do this for about 3 to 16 days. And during the same time, there will be bees also taking other tasks, such as building the comb or capping the cells of larvae. So this is how the worker bees do the jobs. These are the tasks that they're assigned. Once they pass the 10-day mark, some bees become the security detail, and they'll do this job for 10 to 21 days. Other bees might do ventilation duties where they're ventilating the entire hive, because the temperature in the hive needs to stay at a constant, and since there are so many bodies in the hive gets warm. So these bees hang out at the entrances, and they do ventilation. It's really genius. Then other bees from days 12 to 21 will also receive nectars from the bees that are going, the foragers and the field bees. Field bees bring back nectar, and these bees will collect the nectar and take it to where it needs to go. Once the worker bee is over the 21 days, they start taking on other tasks, such as they actually become foragers. Now they're grown up enough that they can go out into the wild and bring back nectar and water and pollen and propolis. They bring back all of these things for the hive so the hive can survive, can have food through nectar, water for hydration, pollen for the bee bread, and propolis to glue together open areas. So I know it is pretty confusing, but worker bees are actually very flexible. They'll take on the task that's not being manned by other bees, and they'll do it super efficiently. Now, imagine these worker bees live to about 45 days. Since the day they come out of the cell, they start working, and they work for 45 plus days. It's pretty fascinating. Now, let's talk about the queen bee. So if the worker bees take about 21 days to emerge from the cell, and the drone bees take about 24 days to emerge from the cells, with a lifespan of about 6 weeks. How long do you think queen bees take to emerge from the cell? Well, believe it or not, queen bees emerge from a cell between 15 to 16 days. That is a very fast growth. So you must imagine, you must be wondering, how come, right? So like I mentioned earlier, the first 3 days, the eggs are fed royal jelly. And the next 4 days, they're fed nectar. But for the queen cells, they're fed royal jelly throughout their lifetime, throughout their developmental stage. From the day they're laid, nurse bees start feeding, start storing. They start storing royal jelly in these cells. Now, how would worker bees know that this is a queen cell? Well, there's a very vivid difference between a regular cell and a queen cell. Regular cells are horizontal and the entrance is from the side, whereas queen cells are vertically placed, so the royal jelly can stay in there and they can stack it all up in there. It's really amazing. Like, think about it. It's just amazing. So that's how they're able to store royal jelly in the queen cells, which is then consumed by the larva in the pupating stage while they're in the cells. Now, once these queen bees or bees emerge from their cells, they chew away the wax because these cells are capped and they have a controlled environment in there. Now, queen cells can be found in different locations. They can be at the bottom of a frame, or they could be at the side of the frame, extruding from a regular cell. Why are they in different places? Well, let's see. Emergency cells are found anywhere in the brood pattern, meaning these cells will be located extruding from a regular cell. But are supersedure cells generally located near the end bar or are created as queen cells? Now, these are pre-planned, so they're placed on the bottom of the frame. They're like, yes, we're going to plan for a queen, so we're going to draw out the cell in the proper area. Or a queen dies. There might even be swarm cells, which is, again, the other worker bees will start laying eggs located at the side of the other cells. Pretty nice. Now, sometimes when the queen is lost because they want to continue their life cycle, it's crazy. And once a worker bee starts laying eggs, they can no longer do other work or fly. So if you find bad egg laying situation in your frames, you just dump those bees out because they're good for nothing now. So anyways, that's a little bit about the queen bees and how they emerge. I probably talked about this in an earlier episode, but it's good to get a little bit of a refresher. Now that we know the bees' development cycle, how long it takes for them to be born and become adult bees and honeybees, their lifetime, or how long they live, let's take a look at something very, very important. Just like all living things have to deal with diseases, bees also have to deal with diseases and parasites. There's a lot of different ways that you can tell what's going on with bees. Some of the general parasites have been discovered and are treated for are the varroa mite. The varroa mite, not very fun. And the next one is the tracheal mite. Tracheal mite are even worse. So those are the common parasites that bees have to deal with or that can damage your colony. The next one up are viral diseases that these bees might have an issue with that can cause your colony to collapse. These viral problems could be the parasitic mite syndrome, bee paralysis, sac brood. Other diseases that are bacterial could be the American fowl brood, or AFB, or the European fowl brood, or EFB. Then there's fungal problems, such as chalk brood and Nosema. Other conditions that bees might deal with are dysentery, chilled brood, or the colony collapse disorder. Some secondary pests that don't immediately affect the bees are the wax moth and the small hive beetle. I've seen these small hive beetles. They're tiny. They're not as small as the varroa mite, but they're stinky little buggers. So let's take a look at the varroa mite. The adult female varroa mite is visible to the naked eye. It's colored brown to reddish brown. They're about smaller than a millimeter. You can see them if you're very closely looking for them with your naked eye. Now, the varroa mite life cycle is a little bit different. Not as different, but this is how it goes. So the female varroa mite will enter the cell where there's a larva, a few days old larva, and they'll start feeding on the larva. Start feeding on the larva body. Since bees cannot see the varroa mite, they will, as the time comes, they'll seal up the cell. Now at this point, the larva is growing into a pupa. What do the varroa mites do? They also feed on the pupa. They'll feed on the body, and they'll mate inside the cell and lay eggs. They lay one egg every 30 hours. So they lay all these eggs, and now as the honeybee is pupating, when the adult female leaves the cell, it has varroa mite on their bodies. Yep, just like that. As they leave the cell, the varroa mite's hanging out on the back of the bee. And they'll then transfer from bee to bee. And as adult honeybees fly around other areas, they're carrying and taking these varroa mites for a ride and will then transfer the varroa mite to other bees. And other colonies are then destroyed. So there's something to be said about varroa mite. Do a mite check every 3 months is what is recommended. Check how the mites are doing in your colony. You treat them using different medication and take care of them. So mite spread. How did it spread? I mentioned they spread through migratory beekeepers. So beekeepers are taking their bees around one place to another to pollinate. That's one way the varroa mite will travel. Another way is package bees. You purchase package bees and there's mites in there and get mites in your bees' hives. Nucs, robber bees, you purchase colonies and through other manipulation. Those are some of the few ways these mites spread. Now, if there's many mites feeding on the bee, this destroys the bee. They have deformed wings as they pupate through the life cycle. And in this situation, the colony might die in the next 2 weeks because there's so many mites. They basically just destroy the entire hive. So yeah, that's pretty scary, scary stuff. I have not done a mite check or a treatment yet. I believe the weather is good. I need to contact my beekeeper mentor. Anyway, so varroa mite is some of the ferocious ones, and unfortunately, it's a big problem. The chemical industry, the farm industry, trying to figure out ways to defeat the varroa mite. They haven't found a way yet, but they're coming close. There's treatments you could do to your bees which will cause for a few bees to die, but you end up clearing up the bees of the mites. One of the things that can be done is to have a dedicated drone frame. Sure, a drone frame will only have drones in it, but what happens is varroa mites are attracted to drone frames because they have a longer pupating time. They pupate for 24 days. That gives the varroa mites 3 extra days to feed on the pupa, feed on the larva. So something to watch out for. Tomorrow, we'll talk about some of the ways how you can treat for varroa mite and go into other colony diseases.